You're listening to Called to Homeschool, episode number 200. Ask me anything. Are you feeling the call to homeschool and you're not sure what to do? Or maybe you are already homeschooling and it doesn't look like what you hoped it would. My name is Megan Thomas and I'm a certified life coach, a mother of seven, and a homeschool pro with more than a decade of experience. I can show anyone how to create success in their homeschool, and I'd love to show you how. Are you ready? There we go. Hey friends, how are you? Third time is a charm. I've had major technical issues, but not because of technology, but because of the user, which is me, struggling with things today. So there we go. That's where I am today, apparently, killing it over here. I am so excited about this episode, so excited that apparently I'm struggling with technology because it is my 200th episode of Called to Homeschool. And I'm so grateful, grateful for everybody listening, sharing all of those types of things, because this started as a little idea from a learning circle when Karen looked over at me, my original co-host, and said, "Meg, I think we should start a podcast together," right? Totally crazy idea. Neither of us knew what we were doing. And this podcast has grown into the biggest homeschool, the number one homeschool podcast on iTunes and Spotify. So super thankful for that. Over 500,000 downloads. I'm beyond honored and grateful. So I wanted to do something special for the 200th episode. And so I put it out on Instagram and said, ask me anything. I thought I'd get maybe some crazy questions, but I didn't. I got all normal homeschool questions. And so I'm excited to answer a few of those questions. Now, when I was creating this episode, I was going to write out all my answers and have it be more poised and more polished, but that's not my style. I'm just winging it. So I have the questions. I'm just going to go for it and just talk, because that's my favorite thing to do. So without further ado, here are some of your questions you asked me about homeschool. Let's see. One of them was, how do I get started with homeschool? So there is an episode, actually episode number one, that Karen and I did called "I've Decided to Homeschool, Now What?" And in it, the very first thing that we talk about is learning your state laws. And so you can go in and learn a little bit more about that aspect of it and state laws and the website we recommend in learning what your state laws are and how to do those things. But then, like, it has, I think, four steps to do, right? But as I have been teaching and coaching for the last several years, I realize that people need more steps than just like, here's 1, 2, 3, 4 and begin and create an amazing homeschool, right? So obviously step one is find out your state laws so that you're not getting in trouble and your kids aren't getting taken away from you and all those wonderful things. So I have been working on creating a workbook called 30 Days to Ease into Homeschooling. And I'm really excited about this because I would like it to be a fun process to start homeschooling. And so really the first few steps are learning to connect with your kids and learning to get along and taking some time off and just having fun together, going to museums, going to a park, going to like just playing and sleeping in, right? I do highly recommend not just turning to screens, because that will be a pain in the butt later when you are fighting your kids against screens. And I always want things to be easier. So I don't do screens very often at our house because of that. So really learning how to connect and be with one another, and remembering when you had a baby, maybe you're pregnant or you just had a baby. When you have that happen, you have to slow down. Like your body, especially acute C-section mamas, like you just had a major surgery, and even any other type of mamas, you're sore and you're tired and your body just went through a major change. And even if you wanted to get up and do all the things that you used to do, you can't. You have to take some time to adapt and adjust. And as your baby grows, then all of a sudden you can get back to your old habits and back to some of the things that you were doing to take care of your family. But you have to take a rest period and figure out, what does our family look like now with this new child? So your homeschool is your new baby, and you have to figure out, what does our family look like now that we're a homeschool family? What does that look like? And some of the things I really encourage you to do is to create habits and a strong foundation so that your homeschool is built on something solid, so that your homeschool is not built on chaos and craziness and mom doing all the chores, all the cooking, all the cleaning, I said that weird, and also teaching history and teaching science and doing your language arts and doing your math and all these things, and then mom's going to lose her mind and have a mental breakdown. But instead, when you build this on a strong foundation of children knowing the rhythm and the flow of your home, kids cooking and cleaning and doing their own laundry and things like that, then your homeschool gets to be built on something strong. So part of like this new homeschool baby, you're going to just go slow. So you don't need to dive in and like just start doing school day one that you are homeschooling. And I know that will feel scary. Like we have to do school, but honestly, your kids will be all right. After I had my sixth baby, we actually took 5 months. Was it 4 or 5 months? I can't remember. 4 or 5 months off of school and did nothing other than playing a lot. We actually did do Magic School Bus and Liberty Kids. That's what I called school during that time. And those kids that went through that have all graduated and they're all fine and they're all successful, wonderful adults. So trust me, taking some time off to learn the rhythm and the flow of your home is not going to hurt anything. And it's actually going to build a stronger foundation. So doing things of like when you are going to homeschool, taking a week or a couple days or whatever of like, this is how we clean our rooms. This is how we wash our clothes and put them away. This is how we cook. This is how we clean an area of the house. This is how we do the bathrooms, whatever that looks like. So that when you are ready to start school, that your day in your home has a flow and a rhythm. Like, oh, we wake up this time, we get our chores done, and mom makes breakfast. Then we eat breakfast, we clean up, and we start school. And now we can just have, like, you don't have to do school within all this chaos, right? So it just makes school so much more fun. And then, like, as you do that, and I'll have the workbook available this summer, but like, as you create these rhythms and these habits, then you can add in reload. And then you can add in playing games. And then you can add in other little things like that. And I have a whole system in this to start finding curriculum that supports you instead of trying to make the curriculum, I'm going to say that backwards. But anyways, get curriculum that supports you, your values, what you're aligned with, all of those types of things, instead of just picking what everybody else is doing. So as you are going into homeschooling, you don't like, trust me, your kids aren't going to be societal rejects if you take a week or a month or two off and just easing in and using that time to really build that strong foundation of like, oh, we just had a new homeschool baby. So we have to adjust and adapt as we figure out how we do life with this new baby. So that's how I would recommend as you are getting started with homeschooling. The next question, let's see, homeschooling through high school. So I know this can be a big concern. And actually, to be honest, when my oldest, he's 21 now, when my oldest was getting to that high school age, I thought, okay, this was all cute games, but like now it's the big stuff. Now it really matters. And I myself got worried and wondering what to do. And so he actually homeschooled the longest. They all homeschooled the full way, but it just, his looked the difference where he had basically homeschool high school. So in the middle of 10th grade, he'd been 10th grade, he started Lumen and he ended up getting a high school diploma and he went to school twice a week and then just worked from home. And so he was basically I'm saying it weird. He went to school Tuesdays and Thursdays and did on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, he was home and doing online stuff. And so his homeschool just changed dramatically what he was doing, not doing group subjects with us, right? That was really random, but just in case you're wondering what my kid did. But homeschooling through high school, I like to work backwards. So looking at what your kid wants, does your kid care about a high school diploma? If yes, then figure out how you can get a high school diploma. If your kid wants to go to a certain college, what does that college recommend? Do they want you to have an ACT score? Do they want transcripts? What do they want, right? If your kid wants to go to a trade school, what does the trade school want? And going through all those types of things. So my oldest ended up getting his high school diploma and about 30 college credits. And he even took the ACT because I thought that's what we do. But none of my other ones have. So like, I've just really quit worrying about a lot of things with the more kids as they get older. Kid 2 and 3 decided to not worry about any of that stuff. And they started college and both got their associates. And the one is currently serving a mission, so he's not worrying about it right now. But my daughter, she had applied to college, and she actually was going to be able to transfer as a junior because she had her associates. Then COVID happened, so she didn't go, and she's gone on to go do other things. But if she does decide to go finish college, she will then still transfer as a junior. Next kid is also doing college, so is kid number 5, right? And we'll see what kid number 6 and 7 do. Some of my kids' friends have done different things where they wanted a certain college. So they looked at what this college wanted. One, BYU in Utah, Brigham Young University, a lot of times wants a really great essay and a really great ACT score. So I know a lot of cute kids who went and studied for the ACT or went and got a tutor for the ACT, got a great score, wrote a killer essay, and they were full homeschooled. Maybe they took a class here or there, but mostly predominantly just full homeschool, and they got into BYU full ride scholarships. So it's just looking at what your kid would like. Now, if you have a kid who's like, I don't know what I like, you do want to make sure that they don't have a lot of distractions, right? So if they're just playing video games all day, like, well, I'm going to be a gamer, but they're not really doing anything to become a gamer, like a create that or whatnot, you may want to look at it and say, we may need to remove some of these distractions and buffers so that you can figure out what it is you want to do. My second kid also got his mortgage license when he was 18. That's my husband has a mortgage company. And so he said, well, if I want to maybe work with dad later, now I have this license. He also has his CrossFit certification. So he's like, I could also open a gym. So he's like, I have all these options. I have an associate's, I have a mortgage license, I have a CrossFit certification. He's also an amazing guitarist. So he's like, well, maybe I want to do music, right? And so I just love, like, remember, we're homeschoolers. We are not stuck to this one track of like, we have to do step A, B, C, or 1, 2, 3. And like, then we get this. We can have options. And so I love that my kids have been exposed to a lot of different things and they have all these options. And they even are trying different things throughout high school years to see, is this something that I would love to do? Because even my cute missionary has said, like, well, I don't know if I want to go into music because, like, I want to be a family man and do all those things. And then now he's been on his mission. He's like, I need music in my life. I love it, but maybe it'll just look different, but just willing to try different things. And so, like, you don't have to be stuck with one thing. And with high school, there's so many different ways. And just even with all my friends, we have quite a big community here of homeschoolers, and all of our high school experience looks very different. Homeschooling is becoming much more practiced and much more known. And so a lot of colleges are working with that. So believe in yourself that you can figure it out. And we just Google things now and we can figure anything out. So just kind of looking and saying, okay, my kid knows for sure they want a trade to be in a trade program. So looking up trade schools and seeing what they want. But honestly, you can really figure a lot of things out as you just keep moving forward and be willing to adapt. Because one of my kids said, I really don't want to do college. I just want to be full homeschooled, which I thought was going to be amazing. And then she changed her mind and said, actually, I have a really strong impression that I should just go ahead and start it. And so I have my associates and then I can decide what to do later if I want to do more school or if I just want to call it good or whatever. So anyways, those are some of my thoughts with high school. My biggest thought is just believe in that your kid's going to figure it out. And some kids will figure it out at 18 and some kids will be 25. So just trusting your kid, giving them lots of skills and habits, things to help them to be successful. And high school can just support those things. Next question kind of goes along with that. Do I need a transcript for college? You have to message the college. My daughter who applied for college, she was transferring as a from Southern New Hampshire University and applied for Utah Valley University. And so they just had a college transcript from that college. So I've never had to prepare a homeschool transcript, and I don't plan on it anytime soon, but none of my kids have picked a route that has needed one. So I talk about all the time what my kids are doing. So I guess this documents it, but I also have like my little Excel spreadsheets I make of what my kids are doing. So if I needed to, I could use that as a transcript. So some states require transcripts. And once again, that's looking up your state laws. All right. Another great question. What do I do when homeschool feels overwhelming? Well, there are a couple things, a couple thoughts I have here with this is because when something feels overwhelming, The feeling is being driven and created by a thought. And that thought could be, I have so much to do. I am so overwhelmed. This is so hard, right? Any thought like that is going to create the feeling of overwhelmed. And then when we feel overwhelmed, a lot of times we don't do hardly anything. So then the to-do list piles up and we're like, see, I'm so overwhelmed. I have so much to do. So a couple of things. First of all, check your story. Are you just telling yourself you feel overwhelmed? A lot of times you're actually saying, I am overwhelmed, and even switching it to just, I feel overwhelmed, because there's nothing wrong with feeling overwhelmed, right? But you are not in the state of overwhelm. You are not overwhelmed. You may feel it, but you are not overwhelmed, if that makes sense. That was my favorite story of, well, I have 7 kids and I homeschool and now I'm starting a business and I had a new baby and whatever, my husband's traveling, all these things. I'm like, I just have to feel overwhelmed. And I had a coach question that story and I thought, oh, well, it really is optional. Well, then I'm not. I choose to just be awesome. And so awesome, I can handle these things. So that's one thing, is just to question the story. Am I telling myself I have this big to-do list? Am I telling myself I have to do all these things? And so I'm feeling very overwhelmed. So checking your story. But the second thing is, are you feeling overwhelmed because of your to-do list? And it, like, you are looking at the logistics of it going, I can't do all these things. Then you may need to cut some things out. So if you have a to-do list that is constantly too much and you are not finishing it, then you have a too big of a to-do list. Say that 5 times fast. That was weird. So looking at it as if like, okay, well, I have to make the meals and I have to go clean the house and I have to help my neighbor and I have to go do all these things and I have to homeschool my kids, right? Like when you start getting this laundry list, start questioning it. Do I have to make dinner? No. We can eat cereal, or one of my kids can cook, right? Like, I have a system of our meals so that I am not overwhelmed with dinners, because I do work now. And so that was one thing that I was like, I got to make sure that other people are helping out. So one kid cooks on Monday, another kid cooks on Tuesday. I cook on Wednesdays. I'm teaching another kid to cook on Thursdays. Fridays, feed your own face. Saturdays, leftovers. Sunday's a huge brunch. And usually we're not really hungry for a big dinner because we eat such a big brunch. I guess it's a late lunch afternoon. It's a breakfast at lunchtime, but not like brunch time. So I don't know what you call that. Do you still call it brunch? I don't know. This is what happens when I just speak without notes. So anyways, so looking at all these I have to do's. It would be super awesome if you could go serve your neighbor and do all of those things, but it might not be feasible. Right now, your calling may be to be in your home and teaching your children. If you are working and then also running the house, you may have to figure some things out or let some things go. Like, guess what? This is what can go. You want to know what goes in my house? Unfortunately, is washing our sheets on a super consistent basis. I have tried that many times, and it's just one of those things that just gets to be too much and too complicated and too hard and too overwhelming. And so it's like, guess what? We're going to hope for the best on that one and pray that everything works out all right, right? So with overwhelm, check your story, and also check, are you putting too much on your list and telling yourself you have to do all these types of things? And then the last thing with that too is your homeschool, are you doing too much in your homeschool? So if homeschool is not really fun anymore and it's just overwhelming, you're probably doing too much, too many subjects, all those types of things. For, let's see, I've been homeschooling 15 years. And this whole entire time, we've basically done one big subject of the day. And so science has happened once a week. History's happened once a week. Art is hit and miss. Writing is hit and miss. All those types of things. And yet here I have all these amazing, successful children who are in adulthood killing it, right? And so, like, it's okay to take it slow and do little bite-sized chunks of homeschool and just encourage learning and the love of learning and all those things, and things work out. Okay, this last question. Hopefully I don't make it too long. What are the best ways to work with challenging behaviors? So this is an interesting thought too, right? And the word challenging is not truth. And you may say, yes, Meg, my kid has ADHD and my kid has ODD and my kid is a butt and they are super challenging. The fact of the matter is, you have a child and your child behaves in a certain way, and then you have your thoughts about that behavior. And you are choosing to decide that behavior is challenging, which a lot of times it actually is challenging us because we have to show up in a different way and we can't just show up in autopilot. So what happens is that we feel that they're challenging because we have to change ourselves and be in a different way. And so, sure, it would be so much easier to just be like, I can do whatever I want. I can talk however I can want. I can do all these things. And we're just great, right? But what happens a lot of times is our kid will have this behavior and then we call it a challenging behavior. And now we're trying to change our child and change that behavior so that we can then feel a certain way and feel like it's not hard anymore. So like a couple things, there's so many thoughts with this one on my end, that we get to decide what we want to think about different behaviors, different diagnoses. And like, if we think that it's a problem, do we want to say that it's hard? All those types of things. Do we want to come at it from all these different ways? And I get it. Like, friends, I have 7 kids, and just because I don't air their dirty laundry and I don't talk about, like, I don't bag on my kids, like, oh, let me tell you about this kid, what he did the other day or what she did the other day, right? Just because I don't do that doesn't mean that there aren't behaviors that I'm like, how do I want to show up for this one? I did not see this one coming. So just because I don't talk about my own kids' struggles, just because that is their business, if they want to talk about it, they are welcome to, but this is not their platform, right? If they wanted to come on, I would love to have them, but they don't. And so just because I don't talk about it, don't think that I just have these little angels. Like, I think my kids are amazing and I love them, but they're human. They're so cool and hard at the same time. They are my favorite people and they also bug me sometimes. And so it's so interesting because when we have these thoughts like, my kids are so challenging, your brain is going to find that your kids are so challenging and it is going to keep finding evidence. Like, see, this kid drives me crazy. I can't even be with this kid all the time. I just need this kid to go away and be in school because they're so hard. So like, I would just love thinking, like, obviously, I'm always going to preach connecting with them, I'm loving on them, so you can work with them. Whether or not your kid has a diagnosis or not, whether or not you're like, I'm pretty sure my kid has this or not. One of my darlings, I was struggling with this darling and I didn't know what to do. This was years ago before I'd done coaching or anything like that. And somebody's like, oh, this kid has ODD. Oppositional defiant disorder. And if you looked up in the textbook, this kid has all of it. And it's interesting because as I have worked on connection, loving this kid like crazy, and then understanding this child, we can work together to figure things out. Now, this kid questions everything and this kid wants to know. And sure, I can call that challenging, or I can say, wow, like, I just, like, you just upped my parenting level by like 10 points because now I know, like, I need a really strong why for you to understand something. And so you can look at however you want to with diagnosis and all those things, and you can totally call it challenging if you'd like. But I would like to challenge you to maybe adopt a different story of, like, I am going to figure out a way to work with my kid with this. It doesn't have to be a problem. I think sometimes, I know, there's a book called David and Goliath by Malcolm Gladwell. And it was interesting because he goes in and he talks about how David defeated Goliath because he beat him on his own terms. He didn't go and fight him with a sword. He didn't go down to his level. He was a shepherd who could kill a wolf with a stone. So killing somebody from far away with like a weapon of his choice where he's really, really good at it. Like when you think of like, his skill with it, how often he probably practiced with it, all those things. It was like, yeah, no wonder he beat him, right? So like, if you look at these things and these challenging behaviors, like I love thinking of it, why is it a gift? Why is it amazing that I have a child who questions everything? Well, this kid is not going to get taken advantage of. This kid is not going to be harassed or be a pushover because they are going to want to know why. This kid is so brilliant because they question everything. Drives their boss insane, but their mother has figured it out. So we can look at things like, and in the book, it actually gives some pretty cool examples with, what is it called? Dyslexia. And some people who were incredibly dyslexic. And so they became a pro in other areas where they become such efficient listeners. And they could listen at a deeper level than you or I could because we can read differently than this person. And so because this person struggled so much with reading, they became such an amazing listener, and then in turn became such an amazing attorney because they could listen so well and they could catch other things that other people and other attorneys could not. So with these challenging behaviors, I would love to just question that. First of all, like, why the story? Why? You can have whatever story you want, but I don't know that it serves you or your kid. So instead, like, how is this my kid's gift that they don't know how to use? Think about this with every superhero movie, right? When Superman is figuring out his gifts and his talents, he doesn't know what to do because he's so strong he might destroy something. If, who else? Like Spider-Man, when he gets his webs, everything's sticking and he doesn't know how to use them. Your kid having a lot of energy is just their gift and they don't know how to use it yet. Your kid talking all the time is a gift and they don't know how to use it yet. Your kid, whatever, quote unquote, challenging behavior is simply their superpower that they just haven't mastered yet. So you can be their nemesis who sees this as a problem and I'm trying to change you and this is the worst. Or you can be like their little master, like I'm talking superhero movies here, not your the dictator, but like that guide in their journey that's like, you have an amazing gift. I'm going to help you with that. Can you imagine? Like, I love putting myself in a child's shoes and looking at things from their perspective. Can you imagine if I was going to use myself an example, because one of the things that drove my mother bonkers was how much I talked. She would like, oh my gosh, Chatty Cathy, like, I can't take this. Just like, be quiet. I cannot handle how much you talk all the time. And I get kicked out of classes all the time. Like, my maiden name was Roundy. I'm like, Roundy, get out of the class. Like, you cannot shut up. I got kicked out of classes all the time for talking. And I drove my mother crazy for talking, right? And can you imagine if somebody had said, I wonder if this is her gift. I wonder if her ability to share and to be so excited to talk with people is going to allow her this platform where she feels like in her element in a podcast. And when she's interviewing people, it invigorates her because she loves talking so much. I wonder if it will help her with her coaching because she's always been asking a million questions. And now she gets to do it in a way with coaching that it helps her to understand her clients at a whole new level. I wonder if her ability to talk also has helped her in her marriage and her ability to talk through things and to work things out. I wonder if it's helped her to become an amazing mom because she's asking questions and connecting with her kids. You can totally look at a child's behavior and say, this is a pain in the butt and it is so hard. But you also could look at it and say, what if this is their gift? And I just don't know it yet. And I'm going to help them find it. Both are available. Friends, once again, thank you so much. Thank you so much for listening, sharing the podcast. I am excited that I've hit 200 episodes and I cannot wait for what the future holds for my coaching practice and the people I get to connect with and do all these awesome things. And just want to say thank you so much for listening. Have a great day.
Are you ready to take the concepts learned on this podcast to the next level? Then I invite you to join Mama's Members, a place where I will help you succeed in your family and homeschool beyond what you thought was possible. You will have access to hours of content, a place to ask questions, and weekly coaching calls to help you be the amazing homeschool mom you are called to be. To sign up, go to www.coachmegthomas.com/join. I can't wait to see you there. Thank you.